Imagine, a podcast series by Imagine Theatre.
Hello again and a happy new year. Welcome to episode 70 of this series with me, Martin Ballard. As Imagine Theatre enters another busy end of season debrief, forward planning and admin period.
For more information, go to their website at www.imaginetheatre.co.uk.
All of the previous 69 episodes are still available if you missed any of them, and there are many more episodes to come as well, because of course Imagine is one of the UK's biggest producers of both pantomime and children's theatre. So make it your New Year resolution to subscribe to the series wherever you get your podcasts from. Now, if you remember, before Christmas, we ended the calendar year talking to the cast of Jack and the Beanstalk at the De Montfort Hall in Leicester. It was yet another successful season for Imagine, and you might be thinking the team can now put their feet up until Christmas. Far from it. So let's find out about the season in more detail and what the priorities are for the company at the start of 2024 with their joint CEOs, Managing Director Steve Bowden, and his wife, Business and Marketing Director Sarah Bowden. Happy New Year, both.
Happy New Year, Martin.
Here we go again. Gosh, January already.
Tell us a bit about the season in terms of the productions themselves, Steve, because you've had some new titles, you've employed more people than perhaps ever before. Generally, overall, highly successful.
It's been a really successful season. I mean, we did tackle some new titles, which is always exciting and refreshing. And you never quite know, until you get those shows on the stage, how they'll be received. So we did Treasure Island in Glasgow, and we did Little Mermaid in Kirkcaldy, both of which went down incredibly well. And you know what? I think we've all said that those titles require further development, and we can then run them out for productions across the country. If there's something just really exciting about tackling a new subject in Pantoland, you know, there are only so many pantos that are regularly done, and it's nice to just champion new titles.
Is that something that you'll look at again in the future? Maybe even more titles, some maybe that haven't been done for a while, or maybe brand new ones?
I think so. I mean, we've got a number of venues who are in the cycle of the kind of big five titles. And what we've said is where we know that one of these new titles will be commercially successful as well as artistically successful, that we will absolutely run it out. And I suppose with our digital screen-based shows, you know, Little Mermaid is something that I think would work an absolute treat in that environment. So, yeah, a lot of creative thoughts going on now. But, of course, all the other titles that we did this year have equally been well-received. We've done some fantastic productions across the season. Theatres and audiences alike really pleased with the productions that have been on stage.
Yeah. And the Santa shows as well?
The Santa shows have been amazingly strong. I think we always knew that a show that is geared up for the littlies, who find panto a bit intimidating, is really important in encouraging children to go to the theatre. And those Santa shows have been running for 10 years now. And each year, a new audience arrives at the theatre because it's their first venture. And it kind of, after a couple of years, makes them ready to go and move on to the panto. So, yeah, hugely successful.
I have to say as well that, you know, obviously, panto is grueling, it's hard work, you know, it's pretty intensive. But it is for you guys as well, so much so you might have noticed that Steve's voice is slightly different, because I think you both, you know, had a difficult and challenging time. Pretty run down, eyelids are held open with matchsticks, and you both got a bit of a cold.
That's right. You know what? And that's the deal. That's what we sign up to. Panto requires a lot of travelling, a lot of conversation, a lot of talking to people, making sure that we see all our casts and teams on the road. And there's an army of us. There's Sarah and myself and our other team here. And we're all out on the road. We want to be a part of it. Also, we're making sure that we see other producers' pantomimes to support those. We're looking at companies who hire sets off us as well, giving them our support. So it's really important that at this kind of tight time of year in terms of the run of pantos, that we get to see as many shows as we can. So literally, yeah, it's hundreds of thousands of miles that we travel. And as you say, matchsticks, Barocca, Lemsips, every panto producer's armament.
Well, it's nice to sit down with you and catch up, you know, over a cup of Lemsip. Sit back, don't fall asleep. I'm going to talk to Sarah now, because Sarah, how many miles have you done? Do you know?
I've driven just short of 6,500 miles in the last 6 weeks myself. And that doesn't include aeroplanes or trains either, which I've probably done about another 4,000 or 5,000 miles on top of that. As Steve said, it's intense. And a lot of people think, well, what do producers actually do while we're doing panto? What is it that they do, and why are they so tired? We do a huge amount of stuff behind the scenes that people don't even realise we're doing. There's phone calls and company managers' reports coming through every show. As we've touched upon before in these podcasts, every single performance creates one company manager's report for the show, plus, if there's children, two chaperone reports. So there's reports coming out from every single performance. We have to read those reports, act upon those reports, and make sure that anything that needs dealing with is dealt with. Phone calls are coming through. We have all sorts of personnel issues we deal with, running payroll. So much going on. While the unit is empty, we have to do all the maintenance and repairs on the building, because the time to look after the building is when it's at its most empty, which is during panto season. So you might think, well, you know, all the work's going on in the theatres, and it absolutely is. And the theatres are... But the theatre teams are phenomenal, what they do, and the casts and the crews and that. We just take our hats off to you. But it ain't quite here either.
No, it's not quite here now either. In fact, I couldn't find anywhere to park, and the trucks are lining up. We spoke last year, didn't we, about the trucks all coming to pick up the sets. Of course, they're now bringing them back. You've still got two shows that are open, but it's like Piccadilly Circus out there.
It is, and it's literally like a finely tuned schedule. There's a whole army of people right now in the unit emptying lorries now. But of course, when all the laundry comes back from the wardrobe departments, we've got to get all the laundry done. But if you don't get all the laundry done for 22 shows, you end up with a mountain. So so literally the washing machines are running 24/7 here at the moment. Everything's being put away. You're checking and making sure the repairs are done. All the props are being put away. Sets are being put away. There's just people everywhere right now.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. That's what we, as Steve said, that's what we signed up to, that... You know, a bit tired right now.
Have you unpacked your own suitcases yet?
Do you know what?
Wash Steve's show pants.
Wash Steve's show pants. Do you know, Steve and I realised on Friday, was it Sunday morning? Saturday, I can't remember, Friday morning, whatever day, yeah. Well, I lost track of it. On the 5th, which I think was Friday, we realised we'd got an hour between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. when we could de-Christmas our house. So we literally had to set the alarm, get up and take Christmas down out of the house before we got back on the road again. Otherwise, the Christmas tree would just be up until the middle of January at home.
So a successful year in terms of tickets sold and so on, but also in terms of the number of people that you've employed, new people, some of them, particularly here at headquarters, and also... obviously, the knock-on effect that the successful shows have to the economy of the cities they're staged in.
That's right. It's been a really a huge season. I mean, it still blows Steve and my mind, really, that that conversation we had all those years ago about let's put some pantomimes on has turned into something as enormous as this. And, you know, take my hat off to Mr. B and his vision, because it's really quite something. Well, yeah, we've employed well over 500 people this year, plus over 400 children. So by the time you add in all of that, our personnel count's hitting nearly 1,000 people that we're working with. That's huge. Of those, a good percentage are regular returners. A good percentage are people who've worked with us and come back after a gap. Again, there are a whole raft of people who've never worked with us before. And what's lovely is the Imagine family gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because once you've been with us once, you're part of the family, and it's lovely. It does have an enormous knock-on to the local economy as well. As you said... it's restaurants, taxis, parking, shopping, all of those other things that you don't necessarily think about that have a positive impact when a pantomime is on. People might go for a meal beforehand. They might grab a coffee in Costa. They might park their car and go and do some shopping. And all of those are additional footfall into town centres or into locations near those theatres that it makes a big difference. And you also asked about new staff here. Yeah, we've got some... panto season virgins that went through it for the very first time with us this year. I think there's, what, five or six that went through it for the first time with us, whereas there's also members of the team.
How are they?
They're just, they're still standing.
They're
still in shock.
They are, but you know, you come to work somewhere like this because you love it. And I make it very clear when people are interviewed here at Imagine and then they accept a job, if you don't love it, don't come.
Yeah.
Because it will consume you for November, December and January. But if you love it, you will love working here. Mm. And it will be a job like no other job you've ever had in your life. And the majority of the team here, you know, I'm sure they are all tired, but we've all had a great time doing it too. But yeah, we've got people who've been here 25 years, like Mr. B. Mm. You've got people who've been here 4 months. But it's just, we've always said, haven't we, Team Imagine is a fantastic group of people. They make magic happen, along with everybody out on the venues and the venue teams themselves. It's a world of magic that we create.
Seems a long time ago, Steve, but obviously directing in Reading again this year, another successful show. At the end of the day, you've got so much work. Directing a show is extra for you, really, isn't it? But you don't want to let go because you love it so much.
It is, and I think it's really important that we're at the coalface and that we're seeing what's actually happening, because Panto evolves, the audience's expectations of Panto evolve, and the material and the business of putting on Panto evolves. And unless you're actually out there at the coalface, I think it's easy to sit in an office, look at spreadsheets, look at the figures, talk to people, but not actually see on the ground what is happening. Which is why, as Sarah said, it's really important for us to be out doing those journeys to see what's happening on the ground. And yeah, I absolutely love putting the shows on. Yeah, it is tough when you're also across the other shows as well, but that's what we have a fantastic team for. And I think, you know, being creative, trying out new material, trying out routines also benefits us as we move on into future years, because you go, okay, well, we tried that routine, or I saw that happen, or somebody did that in one of our pantos, why don't we, you know, engineer that through, develop that. It's really important to do all that. So yeah, everybody says, how do you put these shows on in 2 weeks? And it is a challenge, and we'd all love longer to put the shows on, but there's two things to it. Number one is the availability of performers. A lot of the performers come off autumn tours, and therefore they're not available until the 11th hour. There's an element of financial constraint that stops you from being able to rehearse the shows for longer. But then, more importantly, Panto benefits from being slightly raw as the audience first see it, because it shapes and it transitions from the rehearsal process into the live performance only when that audience put their input into it. And they often shape it, we edit it, we cut it back, we tweak. So those changes happen over the first few performances until it beds in nicely for the run.
And again, on stage, at all the venues, you've got people that you've worked with, Paul and people like Justin in Reading, but at every venue around the country, people you've worked with before, but also new talent. And that can be, you know, from the junior ensemble, senior dancers, right the way through to, you know, leading cast members.
That's right. I mean, we're creating brand new shows for each venue every year. Sure, the sets get reused and recycled. You have to, as a producer of this sort of scale, and the costumes, but we're creating new shows and we're bringing teams together, and we like to have a core of returners, but we also like to embed the casts with people that we've either never worked with, or they're recent graduates, or they're people that have been in touch or that we've seen in other shows and we'd like to bring to our pool of performers. But the best pantomimes are those with a huge range of diversity on that stage. You know, people with great experience, people with little experience, but one thing is a love of panto and not being afraid of the hard work that putting these shows on takes.
We've talked about the car park Tetris, Sarah. What else is going on at the moment? Because I'd imagine, you know, you've got a bit of time, hopefully. I mean, there'll be reports coming in. You know, you'll be looking at figures and so on. It's a sort of debrief period, is it?
There's a lot going on. It is debrief. So the first debrief of the season, as you touched upon, we've still got two shows open. So this is the Monday after the majority of our shows have closed that we're recording this. We have a full afternoon of debriefs all afternoon. We are debriefing. We've then got 3 weeks to create our entire season budgets for next year, in amongst all the debriefs of the shows, all the settlements for the shows, and all of the other debrief work we have to do internally. So there's the diaries are just chocker. And Steve and I have got another 8 shows to see this week as well.
And the debriefs are so important, and we try and do them as quickly as we can whilst everything is still raw and the emotion is still very raw, because you need to drill down into where things didn't go as smoothly as they perhaps could have done, where things were successful and that you want to try and build on that. And it's really important to get that raw feedback, because the feedback is 50% of the next production that is created either of the same title or in that same venue. So we really do just capture how everybody felt it went, get all of the producers and heads of departments together and just really start to piece together.
So for each venue, who would be involved in a debrief?
So we'd have the associate producer. So every production has an associate producer who is in effect the project manager from Imagine. And then we have our heads of department internally, which is wardrobe, scenic, music, electrics, casting, production, stage management. And they will all have been receiving information and feedback on the various processes that we went through, both in terms of personnel and processes that the project went through, and we really kind of pick that all apart and say, okay, is there a trend here? Are the problems that we've spotted? You know, there was a problem in recruiting sound engineers this year.
Okay.
There always has been. It was particularly difficult this year. We've been working with a number of our suppliers, and we've been working with a number of colleges trying to help bridge that gap in training. So we'll look at things like that. How did it go? Have we made headway? Is there anything else that we need to invest in?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's getting all that information as early as we can so that we can action it for the next season.
Yeah. And what about the venue? What are they involved in that debrief, Sarah, or do you have a separate one with them?
Yeah, we have two debriefs for each show. There'll be an internal debrief where we will work through everything internally and a debrief with the venue. So each show is debriefed twice. And we look at different things from each meeting. Obviously, internally, we're looking at internal processes as much as we are the show itself. Whereas with the venue, we're looking at the logistics of how the show got in and all of that. So it's literally going through every single production twice. And with all of those shows, that's a lot of meetings.
And with the venue, of course, you're probably looking at all sorts of things, the marketing campaigns, you know, the logistics of the venue and all those sort of things, which is not a part of the show itself.
That's right. It's all those behind the scenes things that people probably have never even thought are there. Those departments and finance, accounting, as you say, marketing debriefs are massive. They will take place a little bit later in the year. So that's almost three debriefs then you go into on each venue. But yeah, it's really hard. Anybody who listens regularly to this podcast is getting an insight into what it takes to do what we do. Yeah. If you haven't listened to the other podcasts, please do, because particularly the ones where we take you behind the scenes at Imagine really will give you an insight into just what it takes to do this job. It's so much more than people realise it is.
Now, I don't want you to get any spreadsheets out, but when do you look at the budget from the season just gone, whether you've been in budget, over budget and so on? When do you look at that?
Right now. Literally,
that's
right.
That's why
you've
not been sleeping then.
Yeah. No, I mean, it takes a long while, as you can appreciate, with the sheer number of transactions that are going through at the moment, because we've got people on the road, we've got hundreds of people working for us, suppliers. I mean, we've got an army of people just getting the accounts onto the system right now. But I will be working through it literally imminently, because with our new arrangement with Trafalgar Entertainment, which is going brilliantly, it means that the whole budgeting system has been brought forwards by about 6 weeks. So I've got to do a lot more work now behind the scenes than I would normally have to do. I mean, I normally have to do a lot of work behind the scenes, but the time pressures are really on me right now.
Steve, in terms of, we mentioned Trafalgar, of course, in terms of Trafalgar and that coming together of the two companies, obviously there are some Trafalgar venues in the mix. Has it made any difference to the way you're operating now?
It's actually been quite interesting. Sarah and I spoke about this a lot over the season. You just know that there's a great supportive network of people who you can speak to just to check things out, just to talk about things that are happening, and which Sarah and I and the team here would normally have just made decisions and moved with. It's just nice to have that support network. And it has been an absolutely great experience, our first season working alongside the team at Trafalgar. And I think what it brings is it brings experience, great experience in the senior management at Trafalgar, but it also brings experience amongst the other producers within their company and organisation. And the sharing of ideas and the sharing of resource and looking at, you know, simple logistical things like storage and transport, group-wide, being able to actually go, okay, we have obviously storage problems and a storage requirement because we have a lot of stuff that we need to store. And as every Panto producer knows, you can never have enough space. So it's just things like that. It's being able to share those conversations and thought processes. So it's been great.
And what about headquarters here? Because everybody's been on the road a lot of the time. So who's been back here and who's overseen all of that maintenance work that you mentioned?
So the maintenance work's been done by the operations team. So there's probably about 8 or 10 of us on the road, but we are a team of we are a 30 strong team. So there's a good 20 people that stay back at head office, and it's them that oversee all the work, all the sorting, all the tidying. Yeah, it's a busy old time. I've got some photos I will share at some point on social media of just what it looked like. I think I took the photographs on the 22nd of December, which was the point at which we were at our absolute emptiest, and just what was going on in the building when you go, well, how empty does it get? it doesn't get as empty as you think it's going to get.
Nevertheless, you can paint the floors and do stuff like that.
No, we can, absolutely, we can. And we can get to light fittings we haven't been able to get to all year, and we can get to the gas meter. And, you know, so we have all of those kind of people in maintaining the building. We're able to roof repair and things which we can't normally do because there's canvas and wood underneath it. And if it leaks, we've got a bit of a problem. So that's the kind of stuff that's been being overseen here, is making sure that the building is fit for purpose for the next year, basically.
Okay, so many of the sets and costumes will be back now, or at least on their way back. They'll have to be assessed then, won't they, for any maintenance and so on?
Oh, gosh, yes. So, and again, we've touched upon it in a previous podcast. Everything in the building is barcoded. So we have an army of people unloading the lorries, but one person is just there to scan the barcodes and to check that piece of equipment. And if it comes back and it's damaged, a log is made against that barcode reference to say, this needs attention. And so we're able to literally, once everything's back in the building, go, right, we have our maintenance log for the year. These are all the things that came off the lorry and needed immediate attention. Obviously, then we maintain all of the sets and all the costumes and all the props in a rota throughout the whole year anyway. But yes, there's a very long repair list that comes off the back of the lorry.
Maybe Steve should have a barcode on, and then we know, you know, he needs a Lemsip.
Need a Lemsip. Need checking in. I mean, there is so much scenery, is so heavy. There's so much of it. This is the only time between seasons that it really gets handled. And the biggest thing that causes impact damage to Panto scenery is transport, you know, both to the venues and coming out of the venues, so, and putting it all away. So it's really important that as Sarah says, that we track every bit of set and we know the condition of it, where it's come from, where it's probably going to, and schedule the repairs throughout the year.
Well, that's the point, is, you know, some repairs could be done now. Cloths, for instance, there's probably no point doing any maintenance on them now because they're going to be folded up anyway. So that's what happens, you know, start of the next season with scenic artists.
That's right. We have to start to plan out that year of maintenance. And of course, there's always new builds as well. So all that scheduling starts now. And paint frames are booked many, many months in advance. So we need to know that we can get the cloths onto paint frames, get them flown, get the maintenance done, because they won't be seen again until the next Panto season. And it's really important that it's done.
I hate to break this to you, but you know you're going to have to do all this again next year.
Oh, no, we don't.
No, it's already started, hasn't it? I mean, the titles are already known. Tickets are on sale at all the venues already for next Christmas. So what happens next?
Well, yeah, I mean, the debriefs, as I say, is an absolutely critical part of the preparation for the first part of the preparation for the next season. You cannot underestimate the importance of proper debriefs. As Steve said, that's what shapes the productions for the following year. So that's what we'll start with, debriefs and budgets. And then once that's shaped, we can then start casting with a vengeance. All the sets are already pretty much allocated to productions. Costumes are allocated. Initial props lists are allocated. Special effects are allocated. Ticket prices are pretty much locked in. Artwork is done. The schedules are done, on sales are happening. So, you know, marketing campaigns have kicked off. So are we underway for next season? Absolutely we are. But we've got to still debrief the one that's just finishing off right now.
Yeah, and obviously from that debrief, Steve, a number of decisions will be made. You know, if there has been an issue with anything, put it right for next year. I guess before the casting is done, you'll want to get an artistic, creative team in as well. So, you know, it's non-stop, isn't it?
It really is. And I think the creative teams that we put in place are kind of like the sort of linchpin of the project. And we put those in place pretty early doors. I think, the you know, what people sometimes forget is that we're putting on shows that have never been seen before, as in they are brand new shows. And they're not like productions that tour, that kind of have regular casts coming in or leaving them, and creatives who work alongside those shows. These shows are put together for the specific venue that they're going to be appearing in. So you need a really strong creative team. And we always say, once you've identified your writer and your creative team who are going to be the kind of head of that project, you can then start assembling the other parts below that. And I think one of the things that we're often looking at is, how involved can we get our creative team in things like the choice of costumes and the who's going to be in it. And that's a really hard dynamic because we're obviously casting a number of productions en masse. But actually part of what makes these shows unique is that dialogue between creatives and also the venue, who have specific requests and requirements that we need to satisfy in order to put the very best panto in their theatre. So it is. It's a lot of conversation and it's a lot of communication between various interested parties to get the very best brief that we then deliver on for this year.
Yeah, I think it's worth pointing out as well that for anybody who's not involved in the business, or some people who are involved in the business, they might think you have a set of costumes, a set, and so on for each show, and it might be in Coventry this year, it might be in, you know, Leicester next year, it might be in Wickham the year after. That's not the case. They're very different shows, and the costumes will obviously change because the performers are different. The script will probably mean that certain things with the set might have to change as well. One show might have had a slosh scene, the other one might not, for instance. I mean, there are lots of things to consider.
There are regional variations as well as physical variations in venue. The venues are all different sizes with different capacities. A show that we write for Glasgow Pavilion, for example, would never work at the Hexagon in Reading. Mm-hmm. A show in Swansea wouldn't work in Coventry. Halifax has its own very stylized piece of theatre, and it's really important as producers that you know what is right in that area, what that audience like, what the theatre like, and respond to the needs as they develop, because it never sits still. Thing, you know, trends, requirements, venues change all the time, and there are venues that are undergoing significant maintenance projects. The Hexagon Reading has been fortunate to receive a huge bit of levelling up money to do a great big capital redevelopment. The upshot of that for a couple of years is that we need to do a significant rethink on the way we physically get the shows into the theatre. You know, next year we won't have the access or the storage space that we ordinarily would have had. So we just at this stage are thinking, OK, what can we do to make sure that we deliver a first-class panto with the constraints that the venue now has?
And finally, Sarah, this is another year post-COVID, and there's been a certain amount of anxiety and apprehension, really, whether audiences will come back and so on. Are you more optimistic this year than perhaps the last couple of years?
Absolutely. We've seen a real return to panto. We've seen that real family group return, which is just wonderful. As we've always said, the thing we love about doing this job is the memories that you help create at Christmas time. And we, Steve and I, as a family, every year we still take our family to the panto, and we've had a big family outing to the panto ourselves this year because we want our family to make those memories like everybody else does. But we've absolutely seen audiences return. Let's hope COVID has finally passed, although we did have quite a lot of COVID in across our companies, but it was managed much more effectively this year. We were able to know what to do with it. But yeah, optimistic for the future, Martin.
And all raring to go for another year.
Absolutely, off we go again.
Listen, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Martin.
And that's it for now, I'm afraid. As I said at the very beginning of the episode, there are many more fabulous guests still to come. Please subscribe through your favourite podcast app and make sure you join me, Martin Ballard, next time for episode 71, when we'll be exploring in more detail the role of the producer.
Thank you for listening to the latest edition of Just Imagine, the podcast series from Imagine Theatre. And you can find out more by going to www.imaginetheatre.co.uk.